Welcome to episode 34 of Published. Today I'll speak with speaker, consultant, and author of The Power Formula for LinkedIn Success, Wayne Breitbarth, about how authors can use LinkedIn to promote their books and brands.
Welcome to Published, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher, to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome back to Published. In today's episode, we're talking about how authors can use LinkedIn to amplify their platforms and boost book sales. Many authors, particularly those in nonfiction spaces, have a wealth of connections on LinkedIn, and if their book is a part of their larger brand, LinkedIn can be a great place to promote it to exactly the right audience. So how then do authors use LinkedIn to promote their books in the most effective ways? To help us understand the ins and outs of LinkedIn, we've brought in LinkedIn extraordinaire and author of The Power Formula for LinkedIn Success, Wayne Breitbarth. Let's get into the interview. Okay, Wayne, welcome to Published. We're so happy to have you today.
It is my pleasure to be on today. I'm so looking forward to our time together.
Yeah, me too. So why don't we start by having you tell us, or our listeners really, a little bit about yourself, your background, and the book that has done so very well for Greenleaf, The Power Formula for LinkedIn Success.
Well, I'm glad it's done well for you because it's done great for me too. It was a weird journey, this whole LinkedIn thing, which started about 11 years ago when I owned an office furniture dealership. And I was not on LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter or anything else at that point. I was hoping that social media would go away like a bellyache. I just assumed it would, you know. But I had a friend who kept pushing me in that recession. And it was a bad recession for the office furniture business. And said, you should be on LinkedIn. It could help you sell office furniture. And I said, you're a little LinkedIn schminkedin. It's not going to do anything for me. I'm not doing it. Well, finally, I buckled and tried LinkedIn in a hotel room in Holland, Michigan. And I'll never forget it because I thought, well, I'm in a hotel room. Nobody's watching. Because I didn't want to admit it. And what I found in that hotel room was that LinkedIn was much less about social media and more about this great database of people. And that I didn't understand that until I tried it. That at that time it was 60 million people. Now it's 660 million people. And when I saw it was this database that for free that we could see not only all these people, but who our friends know, I said, hold the phone. This is different than anything I've seen before. And then what I did was I started reading the couple of books that were out there, and there were only two or three. I ordered them right from the hotel room. I ordered them on Amazon, and I read them, and I devoured them. I go, this is pretty cool. And I studied LinkedIn for 3-4 months, and the next thing you know, I started speaking around the Milwaukee area on LinkedIn in hopes of selling office furniture, right? Because nobody wanted an office furniture speaker guy to come around to the chamber and all that. But LinkedIn was a hot topic where he goes, I don't know what to do with this crazy thing. And I started speaking for free. And at the end of a year of speaking, and I did 105 speaking engagements in 1 year and all for free. Goodness. I said to myself, something's here. This is exciting. Something good could happen. But it was my lovely wife, Brenda, who came to that 105th event, and we got in the car on the way home, and I said, so what'd you think of my speaking? She said, well, it was okay. You know, I said, because I'm a stay-at-home mom, so what am I going to do at LinkedIn? She said, but I could tell people were learning from you. And she said, so I got an idea. I said, what's that? We're going to write a book. And after my jaw dropped, I said, oh, we're going to write a book? Are you kidding? I'm not a good writer. And she said, oh, I know that. She said, I know that. And she said, we're going to do this thing together. I said, okay, we'll do it. She says, because I think there's a career here for you. And you love teaching and you love speaking. And I could see the passion better than any job you've ever had in your life. Long story short, we worked on that book for a year. You guys were gracious enough to grab the book for us. The book took off, passed all those 4, 5, or 6 books at the time then. And we jumped up on Amazon way to the top because of beautiful book, great topic, great title, the whole ball of wax, and a very hot topic at the time. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, I'm into the throes of starting to charge for my speaking and all that. And then I worked with my partner to leave the furniture business because I was just having too much fun. And then now I've been at this full-time for about 6 years, and it is my full-time job, and my wife still helps me with it. And it's just a wonderful place for us to be in at this stage in our life when I want to do what I want to do, but I still want to help people. I love helping people. And I have this passion for seeing people get the aha moment for LinkedIn to help them find a job, help them find customers, help them find suppliers and vendors, or just general networking. So it was weird, and it wouldn't happen to many people, but sometimes you just got to go with these things, especially when your wife tells you something and you listen.
Yeah, I haven't met her, but if you would please extend my gratitude.
I will do that. And all your people have worked with her because she's the detail person on your end.
That's right.
That works with all your folks, and she's wonderful at that, and they love working with her, and she's doing all the stuff I'm terrible at.
Yeah, so we should be sending the holiday gift to Brenda.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, well, I love hearing that story, and it sounds like it was very much a fortuitous set of circumstances there. And maybe at risk of stating the obvious, how did you use LinkedIn to contribute to the success of your book? Because it has been very successful, as you've noted.
So, you know, and now we're in the fourth edition. So as I think about how I've grown my LinkedIn audience with the intentionality of always being a good LinkedIn resource for them, and they know that. And so I built this platform around a weekly email tip of LinkedIn, growing a very sizable email list, growing a sizable LinkedIn following. And those people know that I'm going to give them good LinkedIn value. And a lot of times for nothing. The free tip that I do every week through email and the stuff I share on LinkedIn, of course, there's no charge for that. So when I come around and I share that I've got a new edition coming out, people respond. And I'm so appreciative that I have these fans and these people that like me, and they respond to the second edition, and they respond to the third edition, and they really jumped on the fourth edition again. And so I think the fact that I've built this brand, and now, you know, it's been an 11 year brand, and I've stuck to my guns in that I consistently share really good content without having to spend any money. But then I have various levels of spending money with me, starting at the book, right? The $15 book is my entry point, at least from a paid standpoint. And then I have individual consultations, which can be live or they can be via the webinar or Zoom or something like that. And then I do my conference speaking, and I do my corporate webinar kind of things. So I've got all these different price points, but it all starts with understanding that LinkedIn, like my email list, are probably my two number one things to promote the book, which is the entryway to the rest of Wayne Breitbarth, you know?
Yeah, I think you put that very well, and that's something that, as you probably know, we spend a lot of time on trying to educate authors here at Greenleaf. And frankly, it's the back third of my book, Ideas, Influence, and Income, because a lot of times people have trouble thinking beyond the book, and the more we can help them switch, I guess, from thinking about it as this bucket list passion project that they have to get done to it's a product launch, and there should be a strategy and probably more than one format and then a funnel for it to open up. They really start to see the possibilities.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a week that goes by, Tanya, that I bet you it's between 5 to 8 books each week that Brenda mails out after I have conversations with people that look like it's going to could turn into something nice for us income-wise. And that book is the thing that puts me different than all of the other people that say they are LinkedIn experts. And number two, it allows me to probably even have a higher fee for those things because I've sold so many books and I have this notoriety. And so I don't hesitate to say, do you have my book yet? Oh, no, I don't. And we'll say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll send you a copy. I think you'll really enjoy it. And when they get that book, all of a sudden, it's like opening an envelope of credibility.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm glad it's serving you well in that regard. So if we take this down to a tactical level for our listeners who have so far bought into what you're saying, what are some of the basic steps that somebody who is an author should take to use LinkedIn to start to amplify their reach?
Yeah, I'm so glad you're asking that, because I work with a lot of authors and speakers and people in this space. And the first thing I would say is make sure that you have a separate LinkedIn job experience entry for every revenue stream you have, including a separate author entry. So what that means, most authors, speakers, consultants who do multiple things, and the book is just part of what they do. They have this thing called the Wayne Breitbart Company, and they lump it all. I speak and I train and I wrote this book, and it's one little lump on their profile. That's a miss. That's a miss from the search engine standpoint. It's a miss from a description standpoint. Not every author has a book. Not every author does workshops. Not every author does speaking. Not every author teaches at colleges, whatever your revenue streams are. So you need a separate author entry on your profile that says author, the power formula for LinkedIn success. And then it can still go to the same company page that you have on LinkedIn. And then you explain what's in your book. Maybe you list out the chapters. And then at the bottom of that entry, you have a chance to put media. And media is either an uploaded file or a link. And what I put underneath my author page, my author entry, is I put a link to the Amazon page where you can buy the book and a link to the free chapter, which is a PDF file. And so if somebody lands on my profile and gets down to that author section, they're going to go right into the book, not all the other things that Wayne might be involved in. So that's one of the steps. LinkedIn lets you have all this beautiful creativity and that you can do what you want in these pages, no rules. So have a separate author entry. Second thing, in your headline. And the headline is that the 120 or maybe 220, and I got a great tip for your people here. That headline, it's the words underneath your face, underneath your picture. And headlines are important, as we know, just from writing and newspapers and blogs. They draw attention. Your headline should include the title of your book. Now you say, well, that would eat up my whole headline, Wayne. Well, not if you do it right, in that you can have an additional 100 characters. And this is a LinkedIn hack that's been available for 3 years. You can have additional 100 characters, moving your headline up to 120 characters, if the last 100 characters are added using a LinkedIn mobile app. It's crazy, but it works. So every author should say speaker, author, author of, and then consultant or what their special engineer or whatever their specialty is in their headline, thereby right up front, right underneath your face, author of. Then behind your picture is that beautiful background. It's a huge picture that most people miss by leaving the dots and the blue lines. It's called the background or the banner. Build a graphic, and you can go to my profile and see it. Build a graphic with your book cover, your website, and maybe your tagline and your phone number on that big graphic, and your colors, whatever your branding colors are, so that, boy, you go to my profile, you don't have to scroll down very far. You see the book cover, you see my website, and then you read the name of the book, both on the cover but also in the headline, and you know right away, I'm an author of a best-selling book, you know. And so the background, so it's the separate job entry, the headline, and the background. Now, a couple of other things. There's a section called publications. That appears in your accomplishments section. Use that publication section, not just for your book and a link to your Amazon page or a link to your website where you sell your book, but also put publications like your blog or publications like you've been mentioning, or maybe something like this podcast. That's a publication. So use that section for your book, but then some of your other related publication type things. In your contact information section, which includes your phone number and your email, there are three links available. And we don't have many links on LinkedIn on your profile. They don't make it hyperlinked very often. But in the contact section, you get three links. My suggestion for an author is the first one should be a link to your website if you have one. The second one should be a link to where people can buy your book, and you can describe it as buy my book here. And the third one could be a link to a free chapter or a video or something else related to your business. But you can have three links sitting in that contact info section. That's a missed opportunity, because if people open contact info, they're looking for your contact information, but then they also want to say, how do I get to the website? How do I get to some other information about this? So that's another great idea. Now, just on an overall basis, here's a critical missed opportunity for people. It's they don't understand that LinkedIn is a database, and you've got to optimize your website with keywords just like you do your website for Google. So what I mean by that, Tanya, is you have to sprinkle throughout your profile things like LinkedIn book, LinkedIn author, right? Those words need to be sprinkled throughout as you're telling your story. You don't just hang the words. You use it naturally, but you think to yourself, LinkedIn's a database. It has a search engine algorithm. It works in a certain way, and it likes keywords in certain spots. And one of the things that we'll share with the listeners today is a keyword worksheet that will lay out the exact spots where you better make sure that you got your most important Googleable or LinkedIn searchable keywords, and there are spots that work better than others. And if you haven't gone through that keyword optimization step, you need to, because when I work with people one-on-one to do that, I can move them up in searches in 20 minutes by just putting the word LinkedIn book, LinkedIn author, if somebody's or LinkedIn speaker, LinkedIn consultant. And all those keywords need to be thought through strategically where they go as you tell your story in your profile. So that's another great strategy. And a final one, because I don't take all the time up on this, is in the recommendation section, not the endorsements, in the recommendation section, make sure that you have several recommendations specifically about your book, because then you can use those recommendations from time to time when you're trying to promote the book. I use my recommendations, which I have 220 of them, some for speaking and some for webinars and some for books and workshops. I'll go through those and I find the best recommendations and I cut and paste those exact quotes right into my proposals. It works like a champ.
Wow. I have been taking copious notes and I have some work to do. This is fantastic. Thank you. And I know that's just the tip of the iceberg and your book has so many more tips and tools for authors. So thank you for what you shared so far.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's great. So one thing I wanted to talk to you about, a common, I guess you could call it a rule or at least a belief in the social media world as far as striking a balance between giving content and outwardly selling to an audience, is that there's an 80-20 rule where it's 80% you're giving, you're conversing, you're engaging, and 20% is an explicit ask and you're trying to convert them into some sort of a purchase. I have my own beliefs about this rule, and I'm wondering what you think about this and whether that applies specifically on a platform like LinkedIn or if you have a different balance or approach that you use to strike that mix, I suppose, between engaging and selling.
That's a good point. And I do believe there has to be some kind of a thought process by the content publisher to recognize that there it should be a component of giving in the space that you're expert at that not necessarily goes to your website or your blog or your whatever. I think that's important. It's important that you show that you're in the space and you have other experts that you know, love, and care about, and you want to share that with your audience as well. My rule has always been the 6-3-1 rule, which 6-3-1 equals 10. And for every 10 things you're going to share, 6 of them should be from other people in the space that you're occupying, your expertise area. 6 of them should be from other people you respect and like, hopefully not too competitive. 3 of them should be your own blog or videos, but they're things of learning. They're still learning, just like the first 6 were learning, teaching, helping. And then the last one, the 10%, should be a flat out, my new book's out, I hope you're going to buy it. Or if you ever need a speaker, I'm ready. Now, that's 10% of the time you're promoting, 90% of the time you're helping. I'm having a little bit of a change in that thought process as these algorithms tend to really not get out to many people. In other words, what you're posting, at least on LinkedIn, I know that one well, and I think the other tools have some similar thing. Unlike 7 years ago, when if I posted and you and I were connected, Tanya, you'd see my thing in your feed. You could say, hey, Wayne, I saw your thing. I said, yeah, I know, I did it. Everybody saw it. Everybody saw it. Not the case anymore. The algorithm goes out to some people in your network the first time when you post it, and it sees if it gets any engagement. If it doesn't get a level of engagement that's interesting to LinkedIn, it dies right there with only a few people in your network seeing that thing. Now, it's always going to show up in your activity feed on your profile, at least the way the profile is currently formatted. But because that algorithm is doing this thing and deciding, and not everybody, I think you got to swing a little stronger, way past my sort of my 10% to maybe something, maybe even the 20 is not enough anymore. And it's because everything doesn't get out to everybody all the time. So nobody can even sit there and go, oh, I can see Wayne's a good helper. He's got all these helper stuff. And then once in a while, he throws out this. It's just because they're just controlling these algorithms to the point where I think you have to maybe push a little stronger into some of the things you're selling. And maybe you do that simply like this. At the end of your blog post, which is all learning, you make sure you throw in some kind of a little call to action in the middle or down at the end where you offer your consulting or you offer a link to the webpage to buy something, right? So maybe you mix it in a little bit. So if you're going to push to 30 or 40% where you're selling something, say there's going to be content that's helpful, but in there is a sale. So it's sort of has a hybrid piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally agree with you. That's been my experience as well. And like you said, not just on LinkedIn, on any platform where it just makes sense. If you're doubling, tripling volume over however many years it's been out there, then there's just a lot more for people's eyeballs to take in. And they're dividing their time between more platforms than they used to. So it's harder in that regard as well.
Yeah, super hard. And if you think about LinkedIn, if LinkedIn could come up with like a subscribe button like YouTube has, that would be such a gift to all of us, because we do have people that we'd love to follow and make sure we get their stuff. But there's no way to do that right now other than to make sure I go to Wayne Breitbart's profile and look at his activity.
Mm-hmm. You have to be proactive about that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, maybe some folks from LinkedIn will listen to our podcast and take your advice to heart.
That's my hope and prayer, but we'll see.
Well, we've talked a bit about how authors can use LinkedIn to help promote their books, but would you say that LinkedIn was a viable tool to maybe trackably boost sales for your book? And there's always a little bit of a challenge to connect, I think, marketing activities to results. But did you have anything specific that you did that paid off in that regard? And could you share that with us?
For sure. So in this last edition, when it came out in April, I came up with a bonus, some worksheets where I packaged three worksheets into what I called the Essential LinkedIn Toolkit. And they were three worksheets that over time people have just loved. So I put this toolkit together for the first time, and then I just went out on my network on LinkedIn and I shared that if you buy the book in the first few weeks that it's out there and then go to this website page and put the date that you purchased it, then I will send you the toolkit. And what was interesting about that was we were able to get my ranking up on LinkedIn to about the 2000 level, 2K in the book area. And I was number one for that couple of week period of time in a bunch of categories like human resources and social media. And now I've settled into around the 50 to 60 to 80 K place, which is still still best, or always around the best for the other LinkedIn books as well. But I was able to get that baby to move up into about that 2K space on the Amazon ranking. And it was because this post that I did on LinkedIn, and I did it a few times. I didn't just do it once. I posted it several times with just a little different spin on here's something from this chapter, and then get my book, or here's the toolkit, right? And I know that, and I haven't been back at that spot again, right? I haven't been back at that spot again. So I'm pretty darn sure that it was that promotion, that status update on LinkedIn with an offer that was interesting to people that got me to that level. So I think that one I can pretty much count on. But another thing I want your author audience to think about, and this I don't have quite as, I can't tell that the numbers move because of this, but I know that we all like to be on radio shows and podcasts, right? And that doing things like we're doing today is helpful. And I've got a procedure on LinkedIn that just works super. So you just go out on LinkedIn, and in my case, so it's a business book, I search podcast. I'll do one search by podcast and business. I do another one that's radio show host and business, and up comes all the people who have one of those two or both of those terms on their profile. And then I use the connection request, which is free. I don't use an in-mail. I use a connection request to introduce myself, tell them I got a book, love to send them a copy of the book, or maybe be a guest on their show. And I can tell you, one Sunday a few weeks ago, I sat down and I just wanted to track it. I sent 150 of these notes, and it was really just cutting and pasting, right? Other than putting the person's different first name in. I got on 12 shows. I got on 12 shows out of those 150 people, because remember, they need content. And we know that either weekly or daily or whatever their cadence is. But the cool thing was, I did that while I was watching a baseball game, you know, just cut, paste, LinkedIn had the beautiful database. I sent these notes out. I think about 40 people took me up on the book. So that was fine. I got the book out to 40 different people that someday it might turn out to be something. But 12 of them right away said, you bet, here's a link to book a time on my radio show. Or here's a book a time to link on my podcast. So that's a wonderful way that, you know, in the past, you know, when we've used people like publicists or something, we haven't gotten that kind of traction. And we had to pay for it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point and really good advice for us to be reminded of, because quite often I think people will decide, oh, publicists are too expensive, I'm just not going to do anything, when you're saying that there are some very effective tools you can use and still make a blip on podcasts and radio shows.
No question. Because it really just boils down to this, Tanya. If your audience is on LinkedIn in general, then you can find them using certain keywords, and you can always use the connection request, which is free, although limited to 300 characters, to make a little bit of a pitch, and you don't have to go out and spend even the 10 bucks of in-mail that LinkedIn wants you to pay for that kind of messaging. And then you'll be connected to this radio show host forever, and you can ask them in 3 years when your new book comes out.
Yeah, good point. You're building a network. I love it. Great. Well, Wayne, this is so helpful. Do you have any parting advice for the authors listening who might be considering using LinkedIn for their launch success?
So I can't miss this. My parting advice is find me on LinkedIn, send me a connection request, and I'd love to become your friend. And we can get you hooked up with my free tips and things. And if you want to do some consultations with me, as you can tell, I'm an author and I could help you a lot with what your profile says and how it works and these kind of strategies. But, you know, all in jest is this: be consistent with your LinkedIn time and strategy, and have your profile tell the story where you're trying to go and who you're trying to meet, and make sure that the connections you're adding do the same thing, that they meet your target audience. Just have a cadence and a consistency to LinkedIn and a process, and it will pay off with you as long as your network is there. And I can tell you, for nonfiction authors, your audience is there.
Awesome. I totally agree. And Wayne, thank you so much for sharing your time and your experience with us today.
You're welcome, my friend. I appreciate the partnership.
Absolutely. My pleasure. That's it for our episode today. We hope you learned more about how authors can use LinkedIn effectively and efficiently. For notes and the downloads and resources that Wayne mentioned from today's show, go to greenleafbookgroup.com/episode34. You'll also find advice for writing, publishing, and promoting your work in my book, Ideas, Influence, and Income, which you can learn more about at ideasinfluenceandincome.com. If you've enjoyed the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. It does mean a lot to have your feedback and helps us to make sure we're answering your publishing questions. Big thank you to Kesley Smith, who produces the Published podcast. We'll be back next month with another new episode.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.